So continuing the parasha, we were saying Yosef had two kids before the famine, and the 7 years of famine begin. And there's famine not only in Mitzrayim, but all over. And everyone comes to Paro, and Paro says, go to Yosef. And Chazal tell us that what was really happening in this conversation is that Yosef told them, you want food, you have to do bris milah. And the Mitzrim see they have no choice. So they listen, they all do bris milah. And Chazal tell us that a person who has a bris milah has more control over his tavot, because he will have less pleasure, so he controls his tavot. Mm-hmm. And the Mitzrim is the Mkor HaZuhama, that's the place of tavot. So Yosef is at least making a dent in the immoral activities of Mitzrayim. And Yosef is feeding Mitzrayim. Now, Vayal Yaakov ki yesh shever b'Mitzrayim. Yaakov saw, the simple understanding is he saw that there was food being sold out of Mitzrayim. So he tells his kids, why should we be different? Let's go buy food from Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us that when Yaakov tells his children, Redu Shama, go down to Egypt. So Redu is Gematria 210. And the total amount of time that the Jews spent in Egypt were 210 years. Doesn't say this anywhere. It says it in a Braisa. Doesn't say it in the Torah. The source we have for this concept that the Jews were in Mitzrayim 210 years is here. We know they weren't there 400 years. That we can prove mathematically. They were not there for 400 years. But how long were they there for? So we have on tradition it was 210, the gematria of Redu. Vayal Yaakov. Yaakov saw with Ruach HaKodesh, ki yesh shevel, that there was hope in Mitzrayim. So he told his children, go down for 210 years. He knew that the galut was beginning. And now, we have to look a little bit beyond the psukim. Avraham was foretold, Yadua teda ki ger yezarcha be'eretz lo lahim. You should know your children are going to be slaves in a land. They will be sojourners in a land that's not theirs. Yitzchak knew that, and Yaakov knew that. The brothers knew that, and Yosef knew that. According to one understanding, the brothers were hoping that this whole curse would come true about Yosef when they sent down Yosef to Mitzrayim. We're going to see now that the journey down to Egypt is now taking place. The brothers are going to go down. The story really began with the jealousy between the brothers. But really, Hashem wants the Jews to go down to Mitzrayim. And this is the beginning of the Jews going down to Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk stresses to us, Vayirdu achei Yosef asara. Yosef's brothers came down as 10. What's the Pasuk telling us? That's their identifying mark. They're the brothers of Yosef. The Pasuk is telling us they came down as the brothers of Yosef. They came down as a unit of 10 that had decided we made a mistake. We shouldn't have sold Yosef. And all the troubles that will ensue in our parasha, every time they will say, we're at fault. We messed up. Because they have come to a realization in these 22 years that they erred in selling Yosef down to Mitzrayim. So now the brothers go down, and according to Chazal, they went down to buy back Yosef. According to Chazal, they said, we're going to look throughout Mitzrayim to find Yosef. They looked throughout all the hostels. That's where they thought they'd find him. They went in through 10 different gates. The 10 brothers are now going down, and they're identified as the 10 brothers of Yosef. That's their mark. Not the 10 children of Yaakov. No other mark but the brothers of Yosef. And we have another interesting thing. It says Yaakov doesn't send Binyamin because he is the brother of Yosef. He said maybe something terrible will happen to him. Mm-hmm. And that's what Chazal tell us, that mikan shasatan mikatreg, when a person enters a situation of danger, people think, well, if I'm supposed to die, I'm going to die. Chazal tell us not that way. Chazal tell us you enter a situation of danger, so then even a person who wasn't supposed to die, if he puts himself in a situation of danger, so he's endangering himself. Some commentaries say that Yaakov was concerned. He said, when I send down Yosef with the brothers, he disappeared. Who knows what will happen when I send Binyamin down with the brothers? And the Jews come down to Egypt. So Yosef's 10 brothers come down, and Yosef calls the brothers in. He has a recording of everyone that comes in, and Yosef calls them in, and he says, you know, everyone else sent down their slaves, one or two slaves. Why do all 10 of you come down? You're all masters. If you're all masters, why didn't you send slaves? Why do you need all 10? Must be you guys are really coming to spy out how to conquer the land. So Yosef has grown a beard, and he's wearing a veil over his eyes. He's wearing some kind of turban like the Egyptians wear, and they can't recognize him. All they see are his eyes and his beard. So Yosef recognized them, but obviously they can't recognize him. Yosef remembers his dreams, and he knows that Hashem prophesied to him that Hashem gave him prophecy that they're supposed to bow. And he also knows that the years of exile are supposed to begin. So Yosef begins by telling them, you guys are spies. And they tell him, nope. So now they have to fend for themselves. Why'd you all come down? They say, we're all sons of one man. Our grandfather's famous. Our great-grandfather's famous. We're from a famous family. We're not spies. So Yosef says, no, it doesn't add up. They try to make their case. We're looking for our brother. We lost one brother down here. We came looking for him. And that's why we were going all around the country looking. And Yosef says, no, you're all spies. You know what? I'll tell you what. Send one guy home. Bring back the little brother. And then we'll see. And he puts them in jail for 3 days. After 3 days, Yosef tells them, you know what? I'm scared of God. Suddenly he's talking about God. Beforehand, when he made a vow, he said, Chay Paro. He said, I swear by Paro, I'm not going to let you off the hook. He does let them off the hook. Whenever he's going to lie, he swears by Paro. But now he says, here's what we should do. I'm scared of God. You guys have families to feed. Leave behind one brother. And then when you come back, you need your food, bring back the little brother. And then I'll know you're telling the truth. What do the brothers start saying? You know why this is happening to us? Because we saw our little brother Yosef suffering. So now Hashem gave us this. You see what ma'aminim they were. They didn't say, what a terrible bureaucrat, what a terrible king, look at what he's doing to us, look what the state is doing to us. That's not what they said. And that's a rule in life. Even when we encounter difficulties, al yedei basar v'dam, it seems to be, he's the guy who's in the way. Really, I could have my passport. Really, I could buy everything without a problem. What's the problem? He's the problem. No, the brothers don't look at it that way. What does Reuven tell them? I told you, don't do it to the kid. You didn't listen. And the brothers don't realize that Yosef understands, because Yosef's been speaking through an interpreter all the time. This gives him time to think, right? He makes believe he doesn't speak their language. He's promised Paro he won't reveal that he knows their language, right? He won't reveal that he knows the 70th language, the language of Lashon HaKodesh that Paro himself doesn't know. So he's not talking Lashon HaKodesh. He has a translator. And he puts Shimon in prison. And he tells his officer, when you fill up their food, put back their money. So they take their food. And the reason he's put Shimon in bondage is because Shimon and Levi are always partners of destruction. They destroyed Shechem. They plotted to kill him. And now he says, I have to break this force, Shimon and Levi. Shimon also had a lesson to learn, more than the other brothers, and maybe that's why he had to be in jail. They're traveling, and there's one person who's a very big tzaddik, named Levi. And Levi can't eat before he feeds his donkey what the donkey's carrying. So the other brothers gave tevin to the donkeys to eat. Levi, he takes out mispo. He's taking out better quality food to give his donkey. The donkey's carrying him and that food. And as he opens his sack, because he's giving the donkey from his own food, from the better food, from the mispo, so he sees the money's there. And what do the brothers say? What's this that God did to us? They don't say, uh-oh, there was a mess up. There was an accounting mess up again. They attribute it all to Hashem. Ivelet Adam tesalef darko ve'al Hashem yizaf libo. A person messes up his own life and he blames Hashem. Chazal look at this derogatorily. The Chazal say, they messed up their lives. They sold Yosef. And they blame Hashem. They say, what did Hashem do to us? But some of the commentaries say, no, this is a positive thing. You see that whatever happens to them, they recognize it's the hand of God. They come back to Yaakov. And they explain to Yaakov that they tried to make their case. And they explain to Yaakov that they can't go back without Binyamin. And what does Yaakov see? Reuven was his firstborn. Reuven lost his right to firstborn. It was given to Yosef. He sent Yosef to the brothers. Suddenly Yosef disappears. He sends the brothers now, 22 years later. Who is next in line after Reuven? So it hasn't been discussed who's going to get it now that Yosef disappeared off the face of the planet. What's a fair assumption? That the next in line after Reuven would get it. Shimon. Now they've come back from Mitzrayim. Who's gone? Shimon's disappeared. And they're telling him this whole story. What's Yaakov supposed to think? They want to take down Binyamin next, and they're telling him they have to take Binyamin. They empty out their bags, and they see that their money, all wrapped up, the way they gave it, is still there. And Yaakov is very concerned. He says, hey, Yosef's gone, Shimon's gone, you want to take Binyamin? So who steps forward? The original leader, Reuven. And he says, you could kill my two kids if I don't bring them back. And Yaakov says, if that's the way you talk, what, your kids are like my kids, they're my grandchildren. I'm not giving my son with you. He's the only one that's left from his mother. And I'm scared you'll bring down my old age in terrible sorrow. Meaning, to an extent, he's indicating to them, I blame you for everything that's happened. So I'm not letting you take the last one. He doesn't say maybe something will happen. Notice the brothers keep claiming, it's a hand of God. It's a hand of God. What'd we do? Yosef disappeared. A wild animal must have eaten him. Shimon, well, the guy in the country held him hostage. Yaakov says, if I send Binyamin, another accident will happen, and you will cause me to die in sorrow. But the famine is harder, and the brothers convene, and they say, what should we do? And Yehuda says, wait, when the food runs out, Dad will have no choice. And that's what happens. They finish the food they brought from Mitzrayim, and the father says, go buy us a little bit of food. And Yehuda says, no, they're not going to sell us even a little food. The guy told us that we shouldn't see his face without the little brother. If you send us the brother, fine, we'll buy you food. And if you don't send, we're not going down. Because he told us not to come without the brother. It was a whole long conversation. Yaakov says, why'd you even tell me you have a brother? They say, well, he knew everything about us. He told us your bed was here when you were a little kid. And your bed was here when you were a little kid. He told us things from our childhood. How do you know all of that? We were scared of lying. So we didn't know he told us to bring the little one down. And Yehuda tells Yaakov, he says, send him with me. This way we'll all live. And I take responsibility in this world and the next. When a person takes responsibility, so sometimes he's taken to task, even if he lives up to that responsibility. So, Yaakov tells them, fine, take gifts, because we say that when you need to deal with the authorities, it's always good to bring gifts. So, Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Matan Baseto Yichpeaf, you give something quietly, you'll calm a person's anger. So Yaakov says, we'll send a little bit of gifts. Yaakov tells them, take double the money, because maybe the prices went up. And then Yaakov davens about them. Yaakov says, and Hashem should let you find favor in the person's eyes, and send back your other brother in Binyamin. And I, Hashem should help me, just like I've lost children. Notice the double lashon, like Esther said, V'chasher avadeti, avadeti. Yaakov says, V'chasher shacholti, shachalti. So Yaakov does what we've learned is the Yaakov's way in life, and we're supposed to learn from it. On the one hand, he does massive ishtadlus. He prepares a great gift. He prepares double the money. He says, take back the money that you found in your sashes. Take double money because the prices might have gone up. And he davens. That's the way a person who has bitachon works. On the one hand, he davens to Hashem, Hashem should take care of things. On the other hand, he does his ishtadlut. Yaakov waited till they finished the food before he sends the brothers back. So some commentaries say Yaakov wasn't too pleased with Shimon. So even though Shimon was sitting rotting in jail, Yaakov didn't see that as a reason to endanger Binyamin or send the rest of the brothers back. He said, fine, he could sit back. And when he prays about Shimon's release, he doesn't say, and Hashem should send you back Shimon and Binyamin. Doesn't say that. He says, V'shilach lachem et achichem acher. And Hashem should send back your other brother. The other one. He doesn't even call him by name. So Yaakov sends the brothers back to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov realizes that this is the beginning of Galus. So in Yaakov's blessing, there is an allusion to Galut Mitzrayim, Galut Bavel, the Galuyot of the 10 tribes, the Galut of Yehuda and Binyamin, the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash. Yaakov is alluding to all of these. And Yaakov says, the El Shaddai, the potent one who controls all the constellations and mazalot, he should have mercy. There should be mercy before Hashem, who controls all the forces. For he knows that I've suffered so much. And here Yaakov is raising a prayer that the mazal should change. He says, let my tzaras end. Lavan, Rachel, Dina, Yosef, now Shimon is captured. He turns his eyes to heaven and he says, Ribon Shom, you control the mazalot. May there be mercy before you, Hashem, and everything should turn out right. Everything should turn better now. You're going out to Chutz La'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is watching over you. In Chutz La'aretz, we know a person in Chutz La'aretz is under the mazalot, under the forces of nature, the forces of the malach of each nation. That's why he says, Kel Shakai, Hashem who controls the sarim and the mazalot in heaven, he should watch over you when you go out to Chutz La'aretz. So they take Binyamin and they go. Binyamin's a 30-year-old man here. 30, 32. He's not a baby. He's being taken. He has 10 kids already. And he's going down to Yosef. And Yosef sees that they've all come. It's the first time the family's getting together again, all 12 of them. So Yosef tells his chief officer, we're making a party tonight. Show them how you shecht, that the food's going to be kosher for them. And they gather everyone together. And the people see that they're being brought to the palace, so they say, it must be because of the money. They want to grab us, they're going to make us slaves and take our donkeys. So they tell the guy, hey, wait a second, there was a mistake. We brought back the money. We don't know how we got it back. We don't know who gave it back to us. We brought double the money to pay for the new food. And the guy says, no, we were in a rush. My master didn't want to detain you. The way we always work things here is you guys give me the sacks with the money. I take the money. I fill up the sacks with food. But here I was in a rush. So I just filled up the food on top of the sacks. My master told me to rush and send you out. Your kids were waiting for food. Your brother was put in prison. There's no mistake. It's okay. You guys paid. I know you paid. I gave you back the money. So they come. They prepare for the meal. They prepare the gift for Yosef. And Yosef asked them, is your father okay? Is that grandfather? You told me you guys have a grandfather that's a famous man, Yitzchak. Is he okay? Is he still alive? And they say, our father's still alive. Everything's good with our father. Because Chazal say you should never say bad news. You should never say that someone died. So they don't tell him Yitzchak died. He asked them, is your father alive? Is your grandfather alive? They say, our father's okay. Our father's alive. And from that he understands that his grandfather has passed away. So he sees Binyamin, he has a hard time containing himself, he goes to the room, he cries over there, he washes his face, and they sit down to eat. The Mitzrayim don't eat with the Jews, because the Jews are eating cow. They bow to the cow, so they can't sit down and eat with the Jews, what the Jews are eating. And he sends gifts to all the brothers, and he gives a bigger gift to Binyamin. And for the first time in 22 years, he drinks wine, and they drink wine. And again, their sacks are refilled. And this time he tells his officer, tell the people I'm giving them back their money. They don't have to pay for the food this time after everything I've put them through. So the people are told, the brothers are told, he's giving them back the money. And throughout the meal, he keeps hitting his goblet and saying, oh, I see from my God that Reuven, you're the firstborn. Ooh, I see all kinds of things about you. Boy, you got your father upset. You did some improper things, Reuven. But okay, you're the firstborn. You sit over there. And he keeps telling them all kinds of things that he knows about their past. And he keeps setting his goblet as though his goblet tells him all these secrets. And he tells his officer, take my silver goblet and put it in the bag of the little one. And then put back his money and all the food. So that's what they do. The people wake up in the morning and they wait till there's good light. From here we learn that you're not supposed to leave when it's still dark. Whenever possible, a person should only go on his journey when there's good light. And the people head out. And as they leave the city, Yosef tells the man who's in charge of everything Yosef owns, he tells him, chase after them and catch up to them and tell them, why'd you pay back badly for all the good treatment you got? You know my master drinks from that, and you know he uses that to figure things out, and he used his kishuf, he used his sorcerers, and they all told him that you guys stole the goblet. You did a terrible thing what you did. So this guy, Menashe, it's really Yosef's son, he's the one in charge of Yosef's palace, he chases after the brothers, and he starts yelling at them. He says, why'd you do such an evil thing? Why'd you pay us back badly for all the good treatment we gave you? So the brothers tell him, why do you say that to us? God forbid that we would do that. You know, we brought you back money that you gave us back, we thought by mistake. We brought it all the way back from the land of Canaan. How would we steal something from you, silver or gold? Whoever you find the goblet by gets the death penalty, and we'll all be your slaves. So Menashe tells them, you guys are right. Really, you did do everything fairly, even if you were right. So you know what? Fine. I'll go with you on that. Whoever we find the goblet by, he will be my slave, because I'm the one responsible to Yosef. I'm supposed to pay back that goblet that you stole. So the guy who stole it is my slave. And the rest of you are clean. You're right. You guys were fine people. You brought back the money. So they quickly get off their saddles, they open up their sacks, they start chasing, they start checking out the sacks, and of course Menashe knows where he's going to find the sack, but he has to fake it out. So he starts with Reuven's, he starts with the eldest, and he ends up with Binyamin's, and when they open Binyamin's sack, they start searching, and of course they find the goblet. And all the brothers tear their clothing, and they get back on their donkeys and they head back to the city. Who caused them to tear their clothing? Menashe. Menashe is going to be punished that his tribe in the land of Israel is also torn. Half the tribe is on the eastern side of the Yarden and half the tribe is on the western side. And now when they re-enter, everyone is broken. They just agreed to a deal that if the goblet is found by them, they'll all be slaves. And when everyone is broken, that's when we see who the real leader is. And when they enter that house, they're already entering with a clear picture that it's Yehuda and the brothers entering the house of Yosef. And Yosef is still there. He's been waiting for them. And they all bow before Yosef. And Yosef yells at them and says, what'd you do? Don't you know that I could bring my sorcerers and figure out where my goblet is? And Yehuda tells him, what could we say? What could we say to make ourselves righteous? In truth, we know we didn't steal anything. We know that the first money, we did nothing wrong that it came back. The second money, we got nothing to talk about because you gave it back. Now what could we say to make ourselves just about this goblet? It must be that God wants to pay us back that he did all these things to us. It's God that's making this happen to us. We're ready to be slaves because obviously this is what God wants. And Yosef is about to play his bluff because Yosef figures there's been a decree that everyone here should be slaves in Egypt. So if they could be my slaves and they don't know that it's me, so then I can make the easiest slavery that has to happen. 210 years of slavery can pass in a jiffy to the Jewish people. So Yosef tells them, no, I'm not, I don't need all of you slaves, just the guy who we found the goblet by, he's going to be my slaves, you guys can go up in peace. And Yosef figures, either all of them will be slaves, like they're saying all for one, or let's see what unity comes out of this, Can these brothers, can they, have they fixed the chet? Have they fixed what they've done for me? If they fixed that, then now by fixing it, maybe part of what Yosef knows is that as a unified force, we could stand up to Galut Mitzrayim. If we're broken in our midst, then we cannot. So Yosef continues playing his bluff, and he says, you guys can all go up, go in peace to your father, and just Binyamin has to stay. It's okay, he's the thief. And they know that they can't come home without Binyamin. So our parsha ends with great suspense. Chazal tell us, Edut bi Yosef samo, b'tzeito al eretz Mitzrayim. The sign of Hashem is Yosef, that Hashem added wisdom to Yosef. Sfat lo yadati yeshma, he was able to suddenly understand 70 languages. He was able to rule over all of Egypt. Edut bi Yosef samo, God gave testimony to his existence through Yosef. That Yosef's going from the very bottom to the very top. Edut bi Yosef samo could also mean the Jewish people. Hashem gave testimony to his miracles through the Jewish people. B'tzeito al eretz Mitzrayim, when Hashem went out through Mitzrayim, Sfat lo yadati yeshma, he found that the Jewish people, they didn't understand the language of the Egyptians. They maintained their Hebrew. They maintained their faithfulness to maintaining monogamous relationship and being faithful to their spouses. When Hashem saw that, Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim and he gave them the mitzvot, which are edut, which are testimony to the miracles Hashem did to us. We have the mitzvah of Pesach, we have the mitzvah of Milah. And edut, what testimony do we have that Hashem is running the Jewish people? Chazal tell us that the testimony the Jewish people had throughout the time of the Beit HaMikdash, edut b'Yosef Samo, the testimony Hashem gave, I am watching after my children, is the menorah. That Hashem said, you have that center light, that light is the center light of the menorah, the Ner Ma'aravi, that they put in enough oil just for the light, just for the night, and it would stay lit 24 hours. All the other lights would burn out, they'd turn off in the morning, and the Ner Ma'aravi stayed lit. The menorah is Edut li Yisrael, Chazal say. That's the testimony that the Shechina is in our midst. In the Greeks, when they saw that we have something so beautiful that Hashem gave us, the menorah, something that is so intricate in its spiritual attributes, that Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Hashem and said, I don't know how you want me to make this, because this is something so unique, the menorah, unique spiritually, that Hashem had to help him out and show him how to build the menorah. So the Greeks wanted to attack that. They wanted to attack, as we've discussed previously, the connection between Am Yisrael and Hashem. And this Edut li Yisrael, the menorah that's called the testimony to the Jewish people, that's what one of the things that they defiled. So they defiled all the oils that were in the temple, aside from one flask that had been found by Shmuel, that Shmuel in the time of Eli, they sealed it with a seal from the time of Shmuel HaNavi with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and that flask of oil was still around in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem made a miracle, again giving us Edut, the miracle of Chanukah, and every day was its own miracle. That's why every day has its own Halel Gamur, we say complete Halel. That's the continued Edut that Hashem gives us, that He is with us. The Greeks did not manage to sever our tie with Hashem, but quite the contrary, we are still the Amma Nifchar, Edut B'Yosef Samo, that is the testimony that Hashem placed in the Jewish people. Shabbat Shalom, Chanukah Sameach.